So the second subset I want to ask you about, Melinda, less common, but still probably about 20% of breast cancer, triple negative disease. We're saying, okay, germline BRCA mutations, triple negative, where are PARP inhibitors?
Yeah, I think the paradigm has changed a little bit just because of the approval a few weeks ago of atezolizumab with nab-paclitaxel for first-line triple-negative breast cancer, but those are patients selected for PD-L1 positive status. So if we set that aside, I think that if you look at the data from the trials in breast cancer for those patients with BRCA mutations, the response rates are 60% or higher. I think many times, you know, patient with metastatic triple negative breast cancer in the first line, people really just want to give chemotherapy thinking it's better, it's stronger, but really the response rates are outstanding with single agent PARP inhibitor therapy. And that's, again, in a broader patient population. And so I think that I'm very comfortable using it up front.
So in the third big population, of course, in breast cancer is the HER2 population. They might be ER positive, ER negative. But in terms of this question, maybe let's just stick with ER negative just to make it simpler. Patients typically get anti-HER therapy indefinitely. Where would a PARP inhibitor fit in your algorithm? And it's not actually even approved. I don't even think it's been tested.
Yeah, I mean, and interesting what we see in breast, you know, we just really do not see BRCA mutations in patients with true HER2 positive disease. It's just not something that we clinically observe. I can think of probably a couple patients ever that I've seen that have a BRCA mutation, HER2 positive breast cancer. So, you know, there's really been, you know, no sort of real pursuit of that in breast cancer in the HER2 positive. The treatment sort of space is more complicated. And so I wouldn't rule it out, certainly, if I had a patient with a BRCA mutation, but we just don't commonly encounter them.